All right, welcome again to the ABCs of Christian Growth. It's Brother Thurman, and I welcome you, brothers and sisters, back to our study that we have together and enjoy so much. It's a wonderful thing to be getting into God's Word, and one of the biggest battles that you'll ever have for the rest of your time in the body here on this earth is battling against, is the enemy battling against you, and the world and the flesh battling against you. And believe it or not, all three of them do battle against you trying to be around God's Word, and especially being in it, and especially studying it. The Lord commands us and says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we don't want to be ashamed of the Lord, and we're not ashamed of the Lord, so that's why we're going to go ahead and study and find out and ask the Lord and ask God the Holy Ghost to help us and to let us see and let us hear and let us understand the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do. Well, I welcome you. I hope you've been having a wonderful time since the last or a blessed time, you know what I mean. That's what the world says. Wonderful, wonderful, everything's beautiful, everything's fine, and everything's dandy. That's not real life, is it? That's not real life. And the longer you live as a Christian, and the closer you get to the Lord and walking with Him, the more you find out that this is not our home. This is not our home. So let's get on into our study today. Back on the study of sin. This is study number 19B and the letter S, the third study in the letter S. And it's on just plain old sin. Sin. Not a very popular subject to talk about, but one of the most talked about things in the Scriptures. And rightly so, because sin is the whole problem. Is the whole problem. And it's not only the whole problem that for us, and for Satan, and it was a problem for the Lord. But, I mean, not a problem in that he couldn't handle it, but a problem that he thought that he needed to take care of because he loved us. And he didn't want us, because of what Satan done and because of Adam's fall and everything else that went on, the Lord didn't want us to have to perish because of it. So he made provision because of this sin matter, so that we could be back in fellowship with him and be back in his family, to where he originally wanted us to be. And praise his wonderful name for doing that. Because of what he's done, I'm born again and I'm in his family. And I've been that way for 41 years. I didn't do nothing to get it. I didn't deserve it. But he saved me and he's been with me as his word says. And I didn't even know his word then. But the more I find out about his word, the more I can find out how faithful and how true his word is. And you too, right? And we are so thankful to be born again and not ashamed of it. And but this study of sin is just kind of trying to pull a mule out of the field, trying to get through, because I don't even like talking about it. I don't like my sin. I don't want to talk about my sins. As a matter of fact, I ask the Lord just help me to get this thing off of me and get this problem out of me. If it's foolishness, if it's disobedience, if it's deceit, whatever it is, whatever sort of sin is tripping you up and keeping you from walking victoriously with the Lord, and it's something that you got to struggle with all the time. And the fact of the matter is we're gonna be have a problem with sin until you leave that body. Because even being born again and your soul being circumcised away from your body, and your body having nothing to do with your soul now, and it headed to the grave, it still affects us. And still there, like carrying a dead man around on you. And that's exactly what it is, literally. Because this flesh, the Lord told us to reckon ourselves dead unto sin. And the sins are it killed us. We're dead. Our body's dying. Sin bringeth forth death. It's going back to the grave. Unless Jesus comes and we are part of the we are living during the era when Jesus comes and raptures us out of here and catches away the bride, then we won't have to die. Our body won't have to die and go back into the grave because it's going to be changed. But unless that happens, That body's going back to the grave. You don't go in the grave, but your body does. And they're going to put us to bed with a shovel, put our bodies to bed with a shovel, and the Lord's going to bring them back up out of that dirt and change them, give them back to us. And that's wonderful. What promises we have. The world don't have any promises, folks. The world is running around there trying to find something that's not there. It's not there. It's not there. It ain't in a new job. It ain't in a new husband. It ain't in a new wife. It ain't in $10,000 more a year paycheck. It ain't in that. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. And so getting back into our study, that's good stuff, ain't it? The past several studies that we've been over, just recapping a little bit, we talked about sins. We've been itemizing these things. We haven't been, but we've been reading over the scriptures and studying the scriptures where the Holy Ghost has itemized these sins under certain things. For instance, sins from which Christians must turn away. He put that title there and said, these are the sins, and mentioned them. And then we went over some others that were, for instance, sins Christians are saved from. There's a reason that he said that, and he put these sins under it. Now, that's not to say that you haven't been saved from any of the other sins that you might have been affected with because of our sin nature and what we are and what's in us, but he mentioned these specifically. So there's a reason for that. I ain't got my finger on it yet, what the reason of it is, but I believe it, and I'm going to believe it. And that's why we're going over them the way that we are, so that we can read each and every one of them and what the Lord says they're categorized under. There's a reason he wanted it categorized. Sins which Christians must lay aside. That was the last one that we went over on our last study. And laying aside these sins. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speaking. I mean, we'd be doing pretty good if we just laid them aside, wouldn't we? Yeah, we would. So getting into today's study, the first thing that we're going to talk about is sins of the flesh, in which Christians used to live. Okay? Now, these are sins that, I guess the way the Lord's putting that, is sins that we should have already put off, or that we ought to have already been praying about and already been working on and laboring on to get out of our lives. Excuse me. Sins of the flesh. Now, one thing you're going to find related to the flesh indefinitely is sin. One thing that is not ever going to change when you talk about something having to do with sin. As a matter of fact, when you talk about sin, probably the first thing that comes up besides Adam's, the Adamic nature, is flesh. Flesh. If we didn't have flesh, we wouldn't be troubled. We wouldn't be troubled, because being born again, that's the only place sin is in your flesh. Your soul's not sinful anymore. It's righteous. It's been sanctified. It's righteous. Your spirit is, your soul is saved, and your spirit is saved. You have the Spirit of the living God in you. God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. Now, your flesh is the problem. Now, the world and the worldly and sinners, not saints that sin, but sinners that reject Christ and reject righteousness and want to walk on their own righteousness, they have a problem with all of it. They got a dead spirit, they got a lost soul, and they got a dying flesh and sinful flesh, just like we was. Now, sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 through 5, the scriptures say this: for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, God in the flesh, he come and took on flesh just like what we're wearing. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. In other words, think like this: for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Did you get that? In other words, it's going to cost you to stop sinning. That's why we have so many. That's why this Laodicean era is coming in, because people don't want to suffer no more for Christ. And if you don't suffer, you ain't going to stop that flesh from sinning, because you have to suffer to stop the flesh from sinning. Let me read it again. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, it stands to reason, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. In other words, Christ suffered for me in the flesh. God came down, took on flesh, and suffered in his flesh so that I could have eternal life. Now I'm born again. He's given me eternal life, and everything's looking good from here on out for me, and it only gets better. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What kind of same mind? For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, I'm going to suffer in my flesh for Christ's sake, so that I could stop sinning. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And then moving on, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run with them, that you not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Did you get that? First Peter's teaching us right there that Christ suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves with the same mind. In other words, these sins that I'm fixing to mention to you, expect to suffer trying to keep your flesh from performing these sins and exercising these sins. You're going to have to suffer to keep this mess out of your life. And your flesh is the problem, because it's the one that wants to do this stuff. All right, what's the first thing he mentions? Lasciviousness. What's lasciviousness? It's looseness. It's irregular indulgence of, like, animal desires. Wantonness, lustfulness, except it exceeds regular lust, or if there's such thing as regular lust. It's worse than just lust. It's exceeding lustful. A tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. In other words, I'm not just having fleshly troubles with lust and just living in lust. I'm looking for things to lust after. Lasciviousness. The Lord said that these are sins that you've been saved from. These are sins of the flesh. Lasciviousness is a sin of your flesh in which you have been, which you used to live in. You used to follow those lusts and even entertain them and even invite them. We don't do that no more because we love Christ. And we're willing to suffer in the flesh to harness that lasciviousness in our flesh and not allow it to perform that, not allow it to exercise that. You see, what else? Lusts. He mentioned that. They're two different things. He said, suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. And then he says, lust differently. So you see, those are two different things. Two different things. Lust is one thing, but lasciviousness is exceedingly lustful. And it's like putting an effort out to be lustful. But lust, he mentioned that. And what is that? Just plain old having lust. Not harnessing yourself, not restraining yourself from lust. And lust can be after anything. You know what lust is. Or eager desire of carnal, that's fleshly, carnality is fleshly, an eager desire of carnal gratification, please the flesh, provoking to sensuality, You walk by your senses. Your hearing, your smell, your senses, your touch. All that sort of business. Inciting to lust or exciting carnal desire. Lusts. What else? Well, these are sins that are mentioned that the Lord says sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. Lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, he mentions. Well, now, there ain't a whole lot of explanation to have to understand that. I mean, I think you can say that to a 7-year-old child, and, well, probably today, because we got 7-year-old drunkards. Yeah. Excessive wine. In an extreme degree. Beyond measure. Exceedingly drinking. We know what that is. I know what it is. When you start getting up in the morning, go to the refrigerator first thing to get a beer. That's excess. You understand that? When you're carrying a case or two a day of something into your house, past your little Bible sitting on the table there, walking in and out of your house like I used to do, and you're carrying that in and out of your house every day, that's excess of wine. It says wine, yeah. But it also says strong drink in other places. In an extreme degree. Beyond measure. Exceedingly. You say, well, does that mean I can drink a little bit? I ain't getting into that, will you? The Bible does talk about that, and that's in another study. And I think it's under the ABCs of Christian growth under questions often asked in the letter Q. I think it's talked about in that one. You can go to that study, and I think it's got to do with drinking and stuff like that in that one. But you can find that out in there. But excess of wine, revelings. We're talking about Christians, and we're talking about Christians' sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. Okay? Excess of wine. And then there's one here called revelings. He mentions this thing called revelings. And I looked up that reveling, started studying it a little bit, and the notion that it gave me, it come out to me, was because I spent some time in the military over in Germany, and I know how them Germans drink. And they don't just drink just to be drinking. They drink as an art. As an art. They make an art out of it, if you will. And what it means over there is to drink down to the last drop. You getting this? Reveling. Celebrate noisily. Often indulging in drinking, engaging in uproarious festivities. I think nowadays they call it partying, but I don't think that even touches revelings. I propose a toast to drinking, jollifying, making happy, making merry, pledging, racketing, saluting, toasting, whooping it up. Revelings. The Lord said that these are sins that we were saved from. He put it under that title, sins that Christians have been saved from, that we used to do. Sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. What else? Banquetings. Now, all this stuff kind of ties together, doesn't it? And it all seems to have to do with this fleshly thing, lasciviousness, and that mix with that goo of sins under this title of the flesh. Lasciviousness is in there, and lust is mixed in with it, and excess of wine, and then revelings is mixed in with it, and banquetings is mixed in it. What's banquetings? Feasting and entertaining and partaking with rich fare, luxurious living. That's the difference in revelings and banquetings. A poor man can revel, but banquetings is more like you got the money to do it a little more luxuriously. Banquetings. Putting on big feastings and more got the pride in it and all that sort of business. entertaining and partaking with rich fare. Luxurious living, banqueting, man. The Lord said, that's fleshly. So you can have all the money in the world, or not any money at all, and banqueting is still fleshly. It's nonsense. It's unnecessary to live that way. And the flesh is the one that loves to live that way. That's why people want that lottery. That's why that lottery works so good. Because they want a banquet. Yeah. Don't get mad at me because you got to put your ticket in the drawer and hide it. I'm just kidding with you. I bought them things before, but I ain't bought them in a long, long, long time. I ain't after no money no more. Money's every now and then my flesh will try to get me concerned about money, but I've got him choked down, I think. But you got to be careful because he'll get out from under you in a hurry, don't he? Sure does. What else? Abominable idolatries. Abominable. Ever heard of the abominable snowman? I think that was one of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He was abominable. Well, the abominable idolatries. A worshiper of idols. You say, I don't worship idols. You got pictures in your house? What do they show? You got statues in your house? Have you got any outside your house? You ought to get you some literature and read about this idolatry and what idolatry is. Idolatry is just like what it sounds like. You're putting up an idol. I mean, is it something that somebody could come and say, that's an idol and you shouldn't have that, and you're worshiping that? You know how you can tell whether it's an idol? That you'll fight them for it. In other words, it's important to you in a worshiping sense, a worship of idols. If you didn't worship it, you wouldn't care if you had it or not. And you can worship just about anything. That's why all these religions make up all these little cast idols. Some of them even got stores that if you break one of them, hundreds and hundreds of different idols. If your big toe hurts, you can buy an idol and pray to it. I ain't kidding you about this. I don't know so much about Big Toe. I think it's called one of Saint somebody that you can pray to about your health if your big toe hurts. But got idols. But if you happen to be walking through the house and you trip over something and you knock Saint Big Toe off the fireplace and bust him or her, you can go down to the store and buy another one and put back up there. But now if somebody was to come in your house and say that's an idol, you say, no, it ain't. Don't mean nothing to me. And then they take it and smash it on the floor and you get fighting mad about it. Mm-hmm. There's a little worship in that, ain't it? And if you're putting your trust in something that you think can supernaturally help you out, that you can pray to other than God, the real living God, praying to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Father, then you worshiping an idol. Anything other than praying to the Heavenly Father that Jesus told us to pray to. A worshiper of idols, one who pays divine honors to images, statues, false gods, or representations of anything made by hands. One who worships as a deity that which is not God. A pagan. Idolatry is applicable to whatever is odious to the mind or offensive to the senses, especially gods. That's one thing the devil always trying to get you to do. And that's one thing your flesh lusts after is idolatry. back in the 20s when they had the Great Depression, back in there when the Great Depression hit. One of the things you could read in the newspaper was suicides of wealthy, rich people who just lost everything they had, was jumping out of windows and buildings, killing themselves. Why? Because they took away their idol. Yeah. And that winds up these fleshly ones. I'm glad the Lord didn't put no more than that in there, but he did put them under this heading, sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. Lasciviousness, that should be a used to. Lusts, that should be a used to. I'm working on it. Excess of wine, that should be a used to. Revelings, a used to. Banquetings. Most of us ain't got no money to do a banqueting. We probably revel, but we couldn't banquet, could we? But either way, used to. Abominable idolatries, used to. And then there's one more. Excess of riot. Excess of riot. Now, this is where you get into some... the scriptures plainly tell us what we should and what we shouldn't do as far as talking about peaceful, what do you call it, where people go out in the street and all of them stand out there with signs and protest, peaceful protesting and stuff like that, and excess of riot, in other words, uproar. Wild or noisy festivity, to run to excess in feasting, drinking, or other sensual indulgences. Remember, it said excess of wine, and then abominable. I mean, all this stuff, you could put it in the same bowl and just mix it up, and it would come out as a fleshly goo. All of it's pretty, he's trying to get a message across right here having to do with his flesh. Sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. Sins of the flesh. Lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, and excessive riot, wild and noisy festivity, to run in excess of feasting and drinking or other sensual indulgences, and all the stuff that goes with it. Sex, booze, drugs, guns, just anything and everything that goes with this kind of stuff. You mix that like an old witch, you take all that, she take all that stuff and put it in that cauldron and a big old wart on her nose and hold that stick and sitting there stirring and, oh, trouble, and blah, 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 blah. She's mixing up that concoction. You put all this stuff in there, all of it flesh, and a big old nasty flesh comes out of it and has got all that goo involved in it. Everything that the flesh of man and the wickedness of that flesh loves. I got a video having to do with some fellows that talked about being over in Vietnam and the war there, and then them having to come home and how they felt about it and what they was like, you know, and whether they crossed lines when they was over there and all the things that they done and why they done it and how they felt about it and all this kind of stuff and stuff like that. And one thing one of them was talking about that he didn't even know that. He was talking some spiritual stuff and kind of approving of what the scripture says was that, three or four of them mentioned the same thing that I noticed. And what they witnessed to was that when they first killed their first person over there, that woman asked them and said, well, did that make you feel bad? And they said, yeah, just for a minute. Just for a little bit when I shot somebody and I figured out that I had actually killed somebody and stopped their life. He said, yeah, it affected me for a little bit. And all of them said that. And she said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, how many people have you killed? Well, I've killed 30, I've killed 60, I've killed 50, and stuff like that. All of them were different. But, they said, well, what is killing somebody like? And they said, well, it's like, having sex. It gives you the same lustful experience as sex, pulling a trigger and blowing somebody's brains out. That's testimony from people been in war. War is lust. Killing is lust. Killing is of the flesh. It's lustful. Now, some of it's self-defense, and that's the difference. But when you're killing for pleasure, it's lust. And don't you kid yourself, brothers and sisters. People do kill for pleasure. I got other documentaries about one of them called The Iceman. Richard Kuklinski, he's dead now. He died in Ohio prison. But he was a hitman for the mafia. And talking about him going around killing people and how it didn't bother him. And as a matter of fact, he got pleasure out of it. And all those sort of fellas. And so, lust! And the flesh. Yeah, that flesh is wicked, brother. It's wicked, sister. That Adamic nature is something that you just don't get it yet. Jesus said that he didn't give himself over to man or give himself to men in that way because he knew what was in men. And man will glorify the flesh. And the Lord wouldn't allow nobody to do that, to exalt his flesh. You see, the Lord didn't let nobody do that. Of course, he wasn't sinful. He never sinned. And that wasn't what he was talking about. He just knew that if man got a hold of it, man would lift him up as a fleshly person. You see. And that's not what the Lord was. He wasn't. He was God in the flesh. The Son of God. All right, moving right along. Now, we get out of that filthiness. And that was sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. Now, under this one, here's another title that the Lord put in here. Sins which are condemned to the lake of fire. When the Lord started talking about the lake of fire, and this is in the book of Revelation, John has written this, and John, well, let me read you this other scripture here in Ephesians 4:17 through 19 about that other one. I forgot to read it to you, and this is most important. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." You see how all that stuff just blends together and it's all fleshly? Paul tells us there in Ephesians, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from here on out, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Because you start messing with that flesh and this kind of stuff like this that we used to live by, fleshly things, it will numb your mind. It'll make you ignorant. And it'll make you blind in your heart. And you'll become past feeling. You won't feel no more. Just like I was talking about those soldiers. They got out there killing people and it started becoming a pleasure to them. Because it was fleshly. You see. It wasn't fighting for God. They were fighting for other reasons. When you go to war for the Lord, it's a whole different thing. You see. And the Lord, the United States hadn't been fighting for the Lord for a long time. Sins which are condemned to the lake of fire. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and you've heard this. This is the one that mentions about, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Now, he could have mentioned any of these other sins that he wanted to, but he mentioned these concerning this subject that he's talking about, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Now, these are not, if you commit these sins, these are not only the sins that you can commit. If you commit any sin, you're guilty of transgressing the law. And you transgress the law, you come under the condemnation of God and the wrath of God. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. And you're going to end up in that lake of fire when it's over with. But these are the ones that he mentioned to talk about this. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, he got us all in there, didn't he, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He mentioned these sins. Let's go over them. Fearful. What's fearful? Somebody walking around causing fear. Fear. Putting fear in people. Dread in people. Or terror in people. Impressing fear. Those who we may fear. In other words, they're trying to make everybody scared of them. The fearful. Trying to make people fear them. Fearful. Them hot shots, oh, there's a lot of them nowadays. Bullies. People walking around trying to make people scared of you. And there's a lot of that going on. A lot of that going on nowadays. It's everywhere. People trying to make you scared of them. And walking around, and when you look at them, they give you a snarl or something, a growl at you or something. Fearful. Causing fear. Or causing dread or terror. That's how society operates. That's how advertising operates. That's how government operates. Fear. And the Lord says, you're going to get it for that. He put that one under the lake of fire. Now, I don't know if that, I mean, you can go to, it goes in there along with the liars too, but don't think you're going to get away with it walking around trying to make people scared of you all the time. The Lord said we're supposed to humble ourselves before the Lord and condescend to men of low estate and humble ourselves and walk humbly before our God. Sins which are condemned to the lake of fire, fearful. What else? Unbelieving. That's all it takes to get out of hell is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. Unbelieving. Not believing. That's what it means. Incredulous. Infidel. Discrediting divine revelation. Or the mission of it, or the character of it, and its doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelieving. But the fearful and the unbelieving, what else? Abominable. There's that one again. Hateful. Detestable. Ones that are odious to the mind or offensive to the senses, unclean, abominable. Fearful, unbelieving, abominable. Murderers. Know what a murderer is. A murderer is not some, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, and then Jesus corrected that thing. Didn't correct it, but added to it. And he's God, he can do anything he wants. But he said thou shalt do no murder. There's a difference in killing and murder. And the Lord made the he distinguished that in the scriptures, and you should know that. Murderers, a person who is a person in possession of his reason unlawfully kills a human being with premeditated malice. That's what your courtroom goes by is to find out whether you meant it and why you meant it, and or whether you did it for self defense. That's the whole thing of the thing is to find out whether you did it with malice. Did you want to kill them? Did you want to kill them because you hated their guts? Did you want to kill them because they had something you wanted? Or did you kill them because they had a baseball bat fishing to bust your brains out of your head? There's a difference, you see. But this whiny, crybaby society that we got now don't want to hurt a flea. Unless, of course, it's pointing toward them, see. What else? Fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers. What else? Whoremongers. Whoremongers. These are sins which are condemned to the lake of fire. Whoremongers. It's the same as a whoremaster. We talked about that. This one's not mentioned that much, but it's mentioned. And it's mentioned under a pretty stiff one right now. Somebody that's a trader or dealer who practices lewdness to have unlawful sexual commerce. Whores and pimping and everything that goes along with that. The business of sex and sexual pleasure. Flesh. What else? Sorcerers. Well, there's a lot of that going on nowadays. Talking about all this fentanyl and cocaine and crystal meth and all this stuff coming, all these countries bringing this stuff into the United States. That's big business now, man. They're trying to take down, and they're doing it. They're doing it, taking this country down. And sorcerers, what is that? Well, it leans toward magic stuff, enchantment, witchcraft, divination by the assistance of evil spirits or the power of commanding evil spirits. But it's not only that in supernatural things, like devils could be involved in it, but it's sorcery. The word means pharmakia, pharmacy. It comes from pharmacy, which is drugs. Drugs. You know how the old witch got all them powers and she's stirring that cauldron and everything else and she's coming up with a potion. And what's the potion? So she can have somebody drink it to get to make something happen? Kind of a magical potion? I used to know some guys that made crystal meth. And you know what they called it? They called it magic. Magic. I mean, they had the whole kitchen there. It run through this process. All it was chemical changes and things like that to make that. Putting this and this together to turn it into this and use that with something else to make this and make this, and you end up with crystal meth. And these guys called it magic because it was devilish. And there's devils all in that mess and witchcraft and all that stuff. Power of commanding evil spirits. They think they're over the evil spirits, but evil spirits are controlling them. That stuff's all in that drug business. And in drugs. Ask anybody. Ask anybody that knows anything about drugs or been hooked on them. Go down there to Philadelphia to Kensington Street and look at all them people out there on that street and see if the devils and unclean spirits have anything to do with that. Human beings ought not even be in that condition. They look like a bunch of wore out dogs and just a bunch of robots, or not robots, but just a bunch of sick people walking around. And man, I used to be right up in the middle of that. The Lord saved me out of all that mess. Praise His wonderful name. I'd be a dead man if it wasn't because of Jesus Christ. And drugs pull you in. And they pull you in. They seduce you. Unclean spirits. Sorcerers. What else? These are sins which are condemned to the lake of fire. Idolaters. There's that one again. A worshiper of idols. One who pays divine honors to images, statues, false gods, or representations of anything made by hands. One who worships as a deity that which is not God. A pagan. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. And that's the last one on this bunch. Liars. You know what a liar is? One who commits criminal falsehood uttered for the purpose of deception. Just don't tell the truth. You on purpose don't tell the truth. An intentional violation of truth. Willful deceit. Fiction in a ludicrous sense. False doctrine. An idolatrous picture of God is a lie. Deceives and disappoints confidence. To exhibit a false representation. To say or do that which deceives another when he has a right to know the truth and when morality requires a just representation. It ain't hard to figure out what a liar is it? Matter of fact, that's one of the words, that's probably one of the worst words that you could say to somebody's face that they'd probably just go right to wanting to kill you. I mean, you can call somebody just about anything you want to call them, but when you look in their face and you say, you liar, you stinking liar. That make them go from 0 to 100 right away. They go over the boiling point, don't they? Nobody likes being called a liar, even if they are. But liars is under this category of sins which are condemned to the lake of fire. Sins that are condemned to the lake of fire. All right. And I think we're going to... Well, let's go ahead and do this one. This is... Sins that are barred from the tree of life. This will be the last itemized one. We've been over all of them in the scriptures, and the Lord gives us a title. He says, this is sins of the tree of life. This is sins that are condemned to the lake of fire. This is sins. I mean, these are the things that the Lord put it in the way that he put it, and the Holy Ghost had it written. Okay, this is the last one. Sins that are barred from the tree of life. Now, this, of course, is during the millennium. People are going to eat off of the tree of life, and we don't have to eat off the tree of life because we have eternal life now. We'll get into some of that in other lessons and things like that, but these are the ones that are not allowed to eat off the tree of life, Revelation 22 and verse 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments. You see, we don't have to do God's commandments. We do them because we want to, not because we have to. We're born again. We're saved by Christ's righteousness. We're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by doing anything. This is different during the tribulation. This is different during the millennium. It's different. Now, we get into all that on some other studies and things like that. Don't let it confuse you. This is just the way it is. And I can show you that. And it's in our studies already. All you got to do is just stick with the studies and you'll find this stuff out. Revelation 22, 14 and 15 says, blessed are they, not everybody, but they, that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. These are sins. We're talking about sins. That's our study. Sins. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We don't have to have rights to get in. Jesus Christ gave us, he is our right. He's the one that gives us access to ruling and reigning with him. We're going to rule and reign with him. It says, for without are dogs. In other words, these can't come in. Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What is a dog? It's a term of reproach and contempt given to a man. The Bible talks about it. Paul talked about dogs, calling people dogs. And it's really a derogatory term nowadays. I mean, you can call somebody a dog. You stinking dog. It's a term of reproach or contempt if you're referred to that way. Now, I don't know exactly what the Lord's talking about this, but he said dogs, and that's what it is. And Paul talked about dogs. People referred to as dogs, men mostly. Women were referred to as sows. Okay. Sorcerers. We just went over that. Magic, enchantment, witchcraft, divination, by the assistance of evil spirits, messing with the dead, messing around with evil spirits and unclean spirits, or the power of commanding evil spirits. Don't you believe that there ain't people that can command evil spirits and can influence them to do things for them? They can. And they do. And that's why the Lord tells us not to mess around with the dead and don't start no fight that ain't, that's not your fight. You see all these people running around, some of these preachers talking about, we're going to run the devil out of town. We're going to do this and that. You ain't going to do nothing. You better humble yourself and submit, resist the devil and submit yourself to the Lord. Because, and get behind your daddy's leg so the devil don't get you. That's the way it is. You hold your fist up to the devil, he'll beat your brains out, brother. He will, sister. Now, I ain't saying that you run from him. The Lord tells us resist him. Resist him and then submit to your Heavenly Father and God's power and God's reputation and God being God himself and our Heavenly Father. You know how it is when somebody threatened you when you was a kid and you got scared of somebody is walking up to talk to your daddy and he scared you and you went behind your daddy's leg for protection. That's what the Lord's talking about. Sorcerers. Dogs. What is this? Sins that are barred from the tree of life. In other words, you can't eat from the tree of life. What's the tree of life? It's the fruit that gives you eternal life. Whoremongers. Same as whoremasters, a trader or dealer who practices lewdness. To have unlawful sexual commerce. A prostitute's customer. A pimp who procures whores. That kind of business. What else? Murderers. A person who, in possession of his reason, unlawfully kills a human being with meditated malice. Premeditated malice. Excuse me. Murderers. There wasn't any protection in the Old Testament for murderers. There was for people that killed other people. They were called cities of refuge. But for a murderer, nope. A life for a life. What else? Idolaters. I've been over that one several times today. A worshiper of idols. One who pays divine honors to images and statues and false gods or representations of anything made by hands. One who worships as a deity that which is not God. A pagan. If you got anything in your house that's important to you, just because you got some and you're putting some faith in it that you're going to be better off because you have it, like your money, you can worship money. Like you're somebody because of the car you drive, you can idolize a car or a statue out in your front yard of an eagle on a post or something, and you think that's making your life better because it's there, and you're putting trust and faith in it. Get rid of it. You say, well, I just don't think it's that big a deal. Well, God does. He mentioned idolaters in a whole bunch of places. He even said pictures. In another place, the Old Testament told those Jews, get rid of your pictures. Any kind of pictures you got, get rid of them. Yeah. What else? Now, I ain't telling you get rid of your pictures. I'm just saying. The Lord did. He told them Jews get rid of them. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. One who commits criminal falsehood, uttered for the purpose of deception, an intentional violation of the truth, willful deceit, fiction in a ludicrous sense, false doctrine, an idolatrous picture of God, deceives and disappoints confidence, and to exhibit a false representation, to say or do that which deceives another when he has a right to know the truth, and when morality requires a just representation. Liar, liar, your pants on fire. Isn't that something? Those were condemned. Now, that was condemned. Liars was condemned to the lake of fire. I bet that's where it come from. Your pants are on fire. And not only your pants, but every part of you's on fire. Sins that are barred from the tree of life. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. We don't have to do that. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may enter in through the gates into the city, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. All right. Well, we've gotten through all of the itemized parts of the scriptures that were entitled with something like the lake of fire or the tree of life or Christians used to live and the fleshly things and sorts and things like that. We've been through all of them now. We've went over every one in the scriptures. And from here on out, we're going to be talking about some different things. Firstly, we'll start on our next lesson with sources of sin. Sources of sin. And we'll start talking about things like that differently than itemized sins and just get on into some different categories of the study of sin. Amen? All right. Well, let me give you these scriptures. You ready? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. We didn't have very many scriptures on these itemized things because usually it took just one passage of scripture to name every one of them, you know. And that's the way it was laid out. So that's the reason we don't have as many scriptures in this portion of the study. All right, that was under sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live, was 1 Peter 4, 1 through 5, and Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. And then sins which are condemned to the lake of fire is Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And then the one that we the Bible uses, the scriptures use for sins that are barred from the tree of life are Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 and 15. And those are the ones that we use today. And on our next study, as like I said before, brothers and sisters, we'll get into this matter of sources of sin and start studying different things in relation to our study of sin, like kinds of sin. Are there different kinds of sin? Yeah, there are. Consequences of sin and things like that. And, you know, so on and so forth. God's attitude towards sin. What's God think of sin, really? What's the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And that's what we're studying, is what saith the Lord. And when we study the scriptures and we lay it out just like we've been doing, and it's been long going through these itemized, and I appreciate your patience and your long suffering through it. I know you've had to hear the same thing over and over. You're probably sick of it now. And that's the way we ought to be, sick of sin, sick of it. And praise the Lord for that, huh? So we've heard enough of that, so we're going to get into some sources of sin on our next one. And I look forward to studying with you. And I appreciate your devotion to our Lord. And God bless you for it. Don't you underestimate it. It doesn't go unnoticed. The Lord knows what you're doing and why you're doing it. And The Lord said if we suffer with him, we'll reign and rule and reign with him. So keeping yourself from sin and fighting against this sin and flesh and the devil is completely different than what the world thinks, isn't it? Serving the Lord is completely different than the way the Lord, the world betrays, displays it. They don't know nothing about it. So anyway, we'll talk to you on the next one. It's the ABCs of Christian growth. It's Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.